Another Sunday and another disappointing blowout loss at Everbank Field.
It's been the same thing for 5 years. I don't know. I mean, obviously, we're not working hard enough.
The fans are fed up. The players are searching for answers. The Jags have got to get this turned around.
There's nobody in this city that feels worse than we do.
The bye week has arrived, but help is not on the way. Tonight, we break it all down. This is Jaguars All Access, brought to you by Everbank, Jacksonville's home for banking, lending, and investing. Buy and sell Jaguars tickets at NFL.com/ticket exchange. Don't wait. Buyers get in and sellers get paid.
No two ways about it. Another sad Sunday at the bank. Crazy thing is, with 18 minutes to go, the Jags had a chance to win this thing. And then the Avalanche, 38 straight points for the Chicago Bears. The Jags are now 1-4. Hey, listen, this isn't going to be a burial. Maybe a little bit of soul searching instead, but we're going to have some fun on the show anyway. Welcome to Jaguars All Access. I'm Brent Martineau, joined as always by Jeff Loggeman. And we don't have to sugarcoat it, Jeff. 1-4 says it all.
No, and it's 1-4, and obviously you have the three losses at home by a combined 75 points. And fans are disappointed. Players are disappointed. You know, coaches are disappointed. And I get it. You know, but the worst part is that everybody's got to stew on it for 2 weeks. You know, typically it's, you know, 1 week, and then you're kind of right back into the mix with a little bit of hope, and now you got to sit on it.
I think we have a perfect guest coming off this kind of situation tonight. Wells Fargo welcomes our special guest, Paul Posluszny, the Jacksonville Jaguars linebacker. Exactly what Jeff just said, Paul, you guys are feeling. You said it. You heard the guys in the locker room. You said it a week ago. Today, there's some frustration here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with the record that we have right now, nobody wanted to be here at this point going into the bye week. But we've not played well enough to win in the NFL, and it's just the way it is. So we got to make some corrections. We got to look at ourselves, see what we can do better, and get ready for the, you know, for the next half of the season.
Do you feel like this week where you've just got to repeat exactly what you said last week, you know, because you were getting a lot of the same questions after last week's loss against the Bengals?
That's the disappointing part about it, you know, because we feel like we can compete. We feel like we're in some of these games with this past one where we're right there at halftime and we have a lot of positive energy going into it, and then we don't finish strong. So that's been very disappointing, and these losses have been very disappointing for us.
And you got to sit on it for 2 weeks. Is that a good thing or a bad thing with the bye week?
I think right now the bye week came at the right time. You know, we had not been playing good football, so we're going to take this time to really reflect on it, learn from the things that we can learn from, and get a lot better, because we need to do that in a short period of time.
All right, well, let's take a look at the G-Series prime plays from yesterday.
Play number three, it's a field goal. Josh Scobie's 175th career field goal ties Mike Hollis' best all-time in Jags history.
And congratulations to Josh. I mean, great job by him. You would have liked to have seen another opportunity at a field goal in a game in which he could have gotten that record at home. But Mike Hollis did it for a long, long time and was very good. Josh has obviously earned the top spot now.
I'd like to see an extra point, too. Play two, Brian Anger with a booming 65-yard punt out of his own end zone. And it was directional to boot.
Yeah, and Paul, obviously you guys have a big-time weapon at the punter position, 65 yards, and the coverage is what really impressed me here. And one of your linebacker mates, Julian Stanford, is the one who ends up running a very dangerous return man, Devin Hester, out of bounds.
Yeah, Julian does a great job here of covering the field and making a play against one of the best returners in the NFL.
12 career punt returns for touchdowns.
He's the best in the business. And Derek Cox had a tough assignment against Brandon Marshall. This is play number one, Derek's interception against Jay Cutler.
Well, and Paul, I mean, when I saw this, I said, all right, here we go. You know, they're getting their hands on the ball, and they're making the plays this week, and you give the offense the ball at the 45-yard line of the Bears' side of the field and weren't able to generate any points out of it. But still, I mean, it had to be a good feeling, the way to start, because that was the Bears' first possession.
That was huge for us. You know, we had talked about making turnovers all week, and we finally get one. We get one early in the game, make a big play. So we got off to a good start. We just got to learn to be able to sustain that.
There were some good plays out there, including this one. Time for our Xfinity Speed Play of the Game. Cecil Shorts, Jeff, continues to make plays in the passing game.
And this was a great catch by Cecil, running right by the cornerback, Tim Jennings, who is actually the league's leading interceptor. And Cecil Shorts is getting better. And you can tell that there's starting a little chemistry is starting to develop between Blaine and Cecil.
That's a super catch. The only problem here, Jeff, is that if he hits him in stride, it might be a touchdown.
Yeah, and Paul, I mean, your head coach Mike Mularkey talks about, you know, we're close. And there's a lot of people out there that say,
What is he talking about?
Yeah. But if that play, as Brent said, is on the hands in stride, all of a sudden you're looking at another, you know, bomb touchdown to Cecil Shorts and looking at 6 points on the board.
And that's the difference in the NFL. I mean, it's inches. And we got to find a way to make up those inches now because we are close. I mean, the score yesterday doesn't represent the type of team that we are. We feel like we're a lot better than that. But we got to go out and learn how to make those plays.
How is the psyche of the team right now? Because we saw that snowball effect, and what you don't want to see. You want to be able to be resilient to those kind of plays.
I mean, so right now, coming off a really, really tough loss at home, obviously guys are disappointed. We're angry about it. There's no doubt about that. But well, like I said, we're going to take this time during the bye week, regroup, stay together, and make sure we make the improvements that we need to make.
And you guys had a chance to watch the Bears on Monday Night Football, and it's kind of crazy that it happened this way and that the same two guys who returned interceptions for touchdowns for the Bears on Monday night did it again against you guys yesterday and Charles Tillman and Lance Briggs.
I mean, and those are two great players, and they play on an unbelievable defense. You got to give them credit, too. They're big-time players. They have a great team, and they made some plays when they needed to.
They have some playmakers. This just in, too, guys. Brandon Marshall is pretty darn good. It felt like Derek Cox was doing an admirable job on Marshall, but then he puts up huge numbers.
Yeah, and that's, Paul, and looking at Brandon Marshall, Derek Cox shadowed him basically all day. Thought he did a great job. Had one he gave up on the zero coverage. But overall, Derek Cox did a very good job against this guy. He's one of those guys that's hard to stop. You just got to slow him down.
I mean, he's an elite receiver. There's no doubt about it. But Derek did a great job on him. I mean, we gave him a tough task. You say you got to stick with him, you know, a lot of the time, especially on third down. We're in a lot of man coverage. And Derek did a great job with that. Now we got to get some pressure, get home, and take some of the pressure off Derek because, you know, with a guy like Brandon Marshall, you can only stay with him for so long. He's going to make a couple plays.
Yeah, that play, when I say zero coverage, there's a lot of people out there that may not know what zero coverage is. And zero coverage is that everybody's coming, and the cornerback or whoever has a man in pass coverage, they've got no help anywhere on the field. And so you're expecting the blitz to get home up front, and obviously it didn't get there in time.
And usually that then went. We're putting our cornerbacks in a tough situation there. So, you know, that's a very difficult thing for them. When we're in a situation like that, the blitz has to get home. Rush and coverage have to work together.
That's when the cornerback is on an island. Jeff, this one bothered you a little bit right here. 4-minute offense for the Chicago Bears. Jags can't get off the field.
Yeah, and Paul, I mentioned this to you when you first came here. And, you know, as a defender, you never want to see this happen. The Bears got a couple backups in the ball game, and they're able to run the clock out and put more points on the board. I would have to think that in the next couple days, that's going to be a part of the conversation in the defensive room.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's something that you never want to be a part of. But unfortunately, that's what happened yesterday. And we're going to fix that. You know, when we get down to a 4-minute period and we need to play good run defense and get the ball back, we're going to be able to do it. You know, we did not do it yesterday. That was a poor job on our part, but we'll fix that.
You're a leader of this football team. You're one of the passionate guys. I mean, how do you guys rally? How do you rally the troops right here to go from being where you think you are real close to winning football games?
I think the thing is we just got to continue to hone in on the little details, you know, do our jobs to the best of our ability and just stick together. Because we know as a group, we know we're close. We know we're right there. But we have to continue to work hard so we can make those little plays that change the outcome of a game.
We're going to try to find more answers coming up in just a little bit with Paul Posluszny and Jeff Lockman. But right now it's time for a little trivia as we head for our first time out here on Jaguars All Access. Here is tonight's question. In Mike Mularkey's first season with the Buffalo Bills, he got off to a 1-4 start. What was the Bills' record at the end of that season? If you think you know the answer, email us at triviamail@jaguars.com. You could win a $100 gift certificate from Football Fanatics. So much more to come right here on Jaguars All Access. Stay with us.
Still ahead on Jaguars All Access. In Sunday's game, the Bears were dominant at certain points. Jeff Lockman goes to the smart board to show you how it all happened. Plus, the Jags were stunned after Sunday's performance. We're going inside the locker room to hear from the guys. But first, here are your Southern Ford dealers' sounds of the game.
I'll put on the show, baby.
I know you feel good.
I'm going to play it, baby.
Bring them all out.
We are underway in Jacksonville. Scooped up by Cutler. And then his pass is picked off by Derek Cox. Here's Maurice Jones-Drew cutting to the outside. He has another Jaguars first down. Hard to bring him down.
Make plays. Make it happen. Work your deep over to your in route.
Yeah.
Okay? That's probably what's going to get here the rest of the way out.
Now on second and nine, here is Gabbert going deep. And it is Shorts. Once again, Cecil Shorts makes the catch for a Jaguars first down.
That's going to win this game.
Drive up and stay in here.
Butler in trouble on first down, and he is wrapped up by Austin Lane. Bears score 38 second half points, defeat the Jaguars.
This is Jaguars All Access. This is Jaguars All Access. Brought to you by Gate and by EverBank, Jacksonville's home for banking, lending, and investing.
You fans have been doing an outstanding job getting to games at EverBank Field, but it's not too late to get your Jags tickets when they return home. The guys return home on November the 4th to take on the Detroit Lions. Call 633-2000 or go to Jaguars.com to get your seats. The weather should be outstanding in early November. Welcome back here to Jaguars All Access. I'm Brent Martineau. Paul Posluszny, our special guest, will be joined by him in just moments. But it's time to go inside the film room with Jeff Lagerman and the Baptist Health Smart Board. Jeff, the Jags will spend these next 2 weeks searching for answers. Give them a head start, especially on offense.
Well, on offense, you've got to be able to run the ball better than you've done in the last 2 weeks. 69 yards rushing against the Bengals and only 60 yards against the Bears. And it's kind of a trend in what the Jaguars are seeing on the other side of the ball. They're starting to see eight. Well, what is eight? Let's jump into the tape. Eight is eight defenders. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and then number eight back over here. That's the safety under the number eight that creeps up into the box, and he's in there to stop the run. And as you'll see the play develop, when Maurice cuts back to that hole, that's the eighth defender, which is an unblocked, because if you go back and you count up the Jaguars' offensive players, you have one, two, three, four, center, five, six, seven potential blockers. So they have outnumbered the Jaguars offensively. And Maurice has a hard time finding the lane. How can you have success running against eight? Running back's got to make a miss, and there he didn't have an opportunity again. Eight in the box for the Bears here. And here is the eighth defender, the safety, Major Wright. Creeps up into that box area, and Maurice has a two-way go here. He can cut inside where Israel Adonijay is, and you can see his shoulder free, or he can bounce it to the outside, and there's the eighth unblocked defender, the safety, and Major Wright makes a nice tackle for a loss. Again, eight guys in the box for the Chicago Bears. You can see him, count them up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. And the eighth guy is the safety. This time, the other safety, Chris Conte. But he's not the guy that makes the play, because on the front side, great job of collapsing the front side play and then making Maurice find a hole. And once he tries to find a hole, there's the eighth unblocked defender to help out to make the tackle. So the Jaguars have to be able to find a way to deal with eight defenders in the box. And one way that they can do that is to elevate the performance of their passing game. And when we come back, we're going to take a look at how they can do that. But first, let's go inside the locker room after the tough loss yesterday.
I've been here doing the same thing for 5 years. I don't know. I mean, obviously, we're not working hard enough. I don't know. You know, you would think the way they've worked, the way I've worked in the offseason, we would play better than this. We were just not playing well right now.
This is Jaguars All Access.
Welcome back to Jaguars All Access. All right, so the Jaguars offense are seeing a lot of eight. So what do they need to do? They need to throw the ball better. They need to develop their passing game more, and they've got to get on the same page. At all three phases, I'm all three levels, quarterback, offensive line, and the wide receivers. The first play, Mike Thomas, here at the bottom of your screen, once the play develops, you can see he's right here, okay? He runs one way, and the ball goes another. That's not on the same page. There's an opportunity lost offensively right there. Up front, the next play. The Bears have a lot of guys creeping around the line of scrimmage right in this area right here. And you have to be coordinated with the offensive line. Guy Wimper is in at tight end. And as you'll see, once the play develops, Uche Nwaneri pulls to the far side, and then Cameron Bradfield steps down to protect his absence. Guy Wimper has to do the same thing. Israel Adonijay ends up coming free, and it doesn't allow the time to develop into the pocket, and because Cameron Bradfield has to hold him to allow Blaine Gabbert time to throw. And it's an outstanding play because Justin Blackmon makes the catch. This is going to be a first down and a big play for the offense. But because of the hold, because they weren't on the same page on the offensive line, it didn't happen. Now, if you're not on the same page, really bad things can happen, and it did, obviously, against the Jaguars. Charles Tillman covering Justin Blackmon. The quarterback and the wide receiver, not on the same page. The ball's underthrown. Not sure if the wide receiver's supposed to be short or if the ball's supposed to be long. Whatever the case may be, they're not on the same page, and bad things happen. Charles Tillman takes this in for a touchdown for the Chicago Bears defense. They've got to be able to be on the same page because offensively, you've got to be a well-oiled machine with all parts working together. It's about being efficient. Now, if you want to see what was wrong with the defense, tune in to Jaguars.com on Friday because I will have in my Film Room Friday segment some things that the defense can do better to get back to having success on that side of the ball. Brent, there's not a whole lot of mystery to football. It's pretty simple. It's not rocket science.
No, and you make it look pretty easy, but there are still a lot of moving parts around here, and our guest, Paul Posluszny, Jaguars linebacker, knows all about it. I mean, there is so much more to it, and the communication is so big. We saw the offense, but you guys haven't been on the same page all year long on the defensive side like you were a year ago, too.
Yeah, we haven't played as well as we can. For a lot of reasons. We've had some guys hurt, some guys that have missed time. But the main thing is we just got to focus in, do our job, communicate. You saw how important it is. Communicate on all levels and just work as one unit. You know, and we haven't done that to the best of our abilities yet. You know, that's on the way. We're working towards that, and we'll get there.
We're going to talk about your linebacker buddy maybe coming back here shortly. We'll get to that in just a few. But let's get away from the Jags right now and this 1-4 start. Talk about high school football a little bit. Aliquippa High School. Actually, before we go, let's skip high school and go Penn State. How about Penn State? 4 wins in a row, including a big comeback win over Northwestern.
Yeah, this was a huge game for Penn State. It was homecoming, so it was great. They had a great crowd, and they beat Northwestern, a ranked team. So this was a big win for the program.
Listen, we've talked to you so many times about what has happened, but it's got to be pretty cool for everybody that's surrounding that university to see some winning going on. I think it's great for the kids that have stayed there and are winning football games. Have you been in touch with some of the folks?
I've talked to my linebacker coach that I played for is still there, and then some of the players as well, their current players. It's great for them. It's great for them because they've been through a lot and stuff that they had nothing to do with, and now they're starting to win games, feel some success. So it's great for the program and the entire university.
There's so much pride at Penn State. Speaking of pride, you come from Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. What a hotbed for NFL talent. We're talking about guys like Ditka, Dorsett, Revis, the list goes on. Posluszny, by the way. I mean, tell us about your high school era growing up. What an amazing talent pool.
I mean, just growing up, you know, football was king. That was always the most important sport. It was a sport that we all gravitated to growing up. You know, when you're a young kid, you look at the high school football players and they were like heroes to you. So it's a very important thing. Football is such an important part of life and growing up in Western Pennsylvania.
And in that area, they know exactly who Paz is. For appearing on tonight's show, Paul Posluszny, you are going to receive a limited edition Bueller Swiss watch. Bueller Swiss watches are the official watch of the Jaguars, and they are available at fine jewelers throughout Northeast Florida. There's still more to come on Jaguars All Access with Paz. We'll hear from Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier, and we'll have the images of the week. Stay with us on CBS 47.
This is Jaguars All Access.
Welcome back to Jaguars All Access. Tonight we have special guests as part of the Florida Dairy Council's Fuel Up the Play 60 program. These kids from Southside Estates Elementary, say hello. Yeah, they signed a pledge to play for at least 60 minutes a day and get that exercise. Glad to have you in studio here with Paul Posluszny, the Jags linebacker as well. The Jags have not been in the zone lately, folks, which means the O-Zone can be a brutally honest place to be. Shields up, Johnny O. Here's John Osier in the C-Best O-Zone.
I'm John Osier for Jaguars All Access, here with tonight's O-Zone question. Jim from Meridian writes, tell me something good, anything. Please, don't worry, I'm not the type to give up and not renew my season tickets, but unless I'm blind, this is a very bad team. Worse, they're not getting any better with time. I did not see this coming. Jim, I don't think anybody did. Players, coaches, anybody. And I don't just mean Sunday, I mean the entire season. Throughout the offseason and training camp, there was optimism around this team, and there was reason for that. The defense was good last season, and you figured the offense had to improve. But while there have been good moments this season, the first 40 minutes Sunday among them, 1-4 at the bye is not what anybody expected. I can't sit here and tell you what needs to get done. If I could, they'd hire me on staff. But you know the cliche, the bye week couldn't have come at a better time? It's no cliche this season. This team needs a bye. The players need to look in the mirror. Everybody does. There are 11 weeks remaining, and something's got to change. Because 11 more weeks of this, it's going to be a very long season indeed.
Thanks, John. Time for the G-Series Prime headlines. The Jags have the bye week coming up. A good chance to heal up and take a long look at where they are headed. There will be a lot of reevaluation. Then it's off to Oakland to take on the Raiders. Jags, well, they haven't been great on the West Coast historically, but hope to change that in a couple of weeks. Maybe getting away from home won't be a bad thing.
Well, and just a quick note here. The Oakland A's are down 0-2, two games down to the Detroit Tigers, so the game probably will not be moved to Monday night, so that's a good thing.
It doesn't seem like he even knew about it.
That is a good thing. We want to keep it the way it is.
Keep it on Sunday night. You may get Darryl Smith back after the bye. How important would that be to your defense to have a leader back, but not only just a leader, but a good football player?
That'd be huge for us. You know, I've said early on, he's our best defensive player, and to get him back in the lineup would be a great thing for us.
All right, Paul Posluszny, good luck. Have a good bye week. Enjoy a couple of days of rest. Thanks for coming in. And for Jeff Logman, I'm Brent Martineau. Let's send you with the images of the week. Have a good one, everybody.